This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today, again, we are joined by Baz Marwin. He is a Dutch guy, been over here nearly over 10 years now, and is really an expert in all things outsourcing. So we have known each other about 8 years and have seen the industry evolve, grow, diversify, and get far more sophisticated in that time. So it's a really interesting conversation with Baz. And in this episode, we talk about the evolution of the service provision within outsourcing. There's a lot of different service models in outsourcing now, and we talk about how they all fit together. I did actually interview Baz previously in episode 168. If you want to go back and listen to that episode to get more of a backstory on Baz, please do so. So I hope you enjoy this episode. This is episode number 172. So if you want any of the show notes, just go to outsourceaccelerator.com/172. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm super excited to be joined again by Baz Marwin. Hi, Baz. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Derek. How are you today?
I'm amazing. I'm good. Thank you. And so we had you previously, and it's great to have you back. Today, I want to deep dive more with you into the different types of outsourcing. And you've been around for over 10 years now in the Philippines in outsourcing, and you've seen how the industry has really evolved and matured, but also how there's a lot of different service offerings now. So I suppose initially, do you just want to, for those that haven't listened to the earlier podcast, introduce yourself and let them know how you've found yourself here in the Philippines?
Absolutely. Like in many cases, I think a lot of foreigners came here with a love story. Unfortunately, in my case, that's not the way I went about it. I started here over 10 years ago with a project with Shell. And after a period of, I would say, 9 months, I really got a great experience here. Felt that there was an amazing journey ahead of me, and more so in the outsourcing and offshoring that really started to kick off, which I experienced even in the Shell days with them building a very big shared service center. And in a span of 10 years, I've been involved with many different companies and many different sort of roles and involvements in different aspects of the industry. And 10 years later, it's been a very exciting journey, and I'm even more excited for what's ahead of us.
Yeah, and you know, we first crossed paths in microsourcing. I built my first team here in microsourcing in about 2011, and you were one of the management team there. And back then, microsourcing was kind of leading the pack, or was certainly one of the forerunners in terms of catering to an SME market in outsourcing. And now, you know, I really believe that's the kind of future of outsourcing is in the SME market. All the companies in the West should really at least consider outsourcing. But how are you seeing the market evolve? Because originally, 20 years ago, it was just BPO, which is kind of deliverable-based contracts for mega companies that are taking hundreds, if not thousands, of seats. And since then, it's got more kind of individualized. People are catering to SMEs. But now it's kind of evolving so much more. Yeah. How are you seeing the market evolve?
Yeah, no. So, and to specifically zoom in on that small, medium-sized market space, I think one of the keywords is, I'd say, options. And whereas in the olden days, you would sit and listen to what the solution is that would that was presented to you, and that the provider felt that was a good solution for you to improve either your customer service, your tech support, or whatnot. Nowadays, it's more a calibration that takes place, and also a bit of homework from the SME business owner that doesn't necessarily come in and necessarily listens to what the solutions are out there, but more looks at other elements on where he can pick and choose from the options that certain providers have available or multiple providers have available, and pick and choose those services and pick and choose those business models that would really suit their immediate need as well as their future requirements. And I think that's really sort of a transformation that I've seen over the years, with obviously more players coming to the market. That's definitely been an exciting part of what outsourcing to the Philippines is these days.
And what I've sort of observed is that it went from a full services like one option model, and now there's more models, but it seems to be veering towards kind of trimmed down, kind of going towards bare bones, as everything tends to do. And I'm not sure necessarily if that's kind of the best evolution for the market overall. But, you know, what are the different service options in outsourcing then? Because you've kind of got the full service BPO, which doesn't seem so common anymore. And then you go more towards the kind of staff and seat leasing sort of options.
Yeah. Look, I think it all comes down to how do businesses want to spend their money and share the risk or take on risks. I think, as I mentioned, it's about that homework that business owners do and what they think that they're capable of and what is it already that you have in-house as a company that is considering to outsource. You may have leadership already. You may have those capabilities, those processes, those frameworks already. And then why would you go full BPO? So I think these are all questions on the table that you kind of have to ask yourself before you even start committing an outsourcing journey or even start talking to outsourcing parties to not only even challenge them, but even challenge yourself. Look, the models these days, they are stripped down, but I think the stripped down, I'd rather want to call that something more, and as mentioned, there are options or a menu. As business owners or as companies that are considering outsourcing, you simply have more of options, and certain options simply suit you better. Whether it's more of a seat leasing or a service office or a co-working type of model, where you pick and choose those services that you would need help with, whether this is legal or financial or even recruitment for that matter, or more going to a model where you say, look, I don't necessarily want to establish myself in the Philippines, set up a legal entity. Go through all those processes and have a provider, a partner with a provider, and have a partner take care of these things. Or simply say, look, I'm at a mature stage that I actually want to connect myself with added value, and I still want to go for a traditional model. Why? Because these companies seem to have done great jobs with companies improving their average handling times or their CSATs or their NPS scores, and we feel that if we're gonna buy that in Australia or in the US for that matter, then that's gonna cost us an arm and a leg. Whereas if we can do it here, we can leverage the benefits of outsourcing as well as the capabilities of them improving our customer service, for example.
Yeah, because the sort of full service BPO is more of a operational partnership, isn't it? Whereas the staff leasing, I suppose, is more of a employment partnership, isn't it? It just kind of gets you past the red tape, but gets you kind of 90% of all of the difficult stuff done. Yeah. And how are you seeing the evolution? Because really, at the moment, and I think this has taken the world by storm, but you know, and I'm actually quite surprised to see it having such an impact in Manila. But the co-working spaces, you know, like just office space generally now is becoming far more flexible. The traditional leasing model of any office space anywhere in the world seems to be reducing, and you're getting these kind of flexible co-working spaces. You know, and are you surprised to see that pop up in Manila as much as the rest of the world?
No, not at all. And we could see this coming. We could see this coming. I mean, the SME market started coming, and then even underneath that so-called small medium sized market, where you started to see startups, even local as well as the global ones. At the end, a business still, as much as we can automate, as much as we'd like to drive a lot through the efficiencies of devices, hardware, software, we still need human beings. We still need certain skill sets and talents to get to that point. And even if we get to that point, you want to evolve, and therefore you need additional skill sets. So that play has always been there. What has been transforming globally, I suppose, is more the way we work. And this is not something that just happened over the last 5 years. This transformation on the way we work, whether this is a change in the office environment, whether it is a change of more flexible arrangements with the employer and the employee. I mean, this was happening decades ago as well. It's more how could we connect? What was the readiness in the outsourcing model to start adopting those changes more significantly? And yeah, to your point, these days we're seeing a lot of changes in the Philippines, a lot of changes in and especially those rising hops in, for example, Bonifacio Global City, Makati, you know, very good spots for those models to pop up and really start to connect to even a different sort of culture and a different sort of business entrepreneur community.
Yeah, really, it's impressive, isn't it? There's so much like A-grade office space popping up around BGC, Uptown, Makati. It's mind-blowing in a way, isn't it? I just kind of hope there's enough industry to keep filling it all.
Well, you see a lot of those that may have gone a little bit overboard on committing to a lot of office space and now try to fill it up. But I think what it also shows is, and that's one of the things that we may forget here as well, is that there is already talent and the talent has been there for decades. What is happening now is that whether it's a foreign, a local relationship or just purely locally driven, there is a startup culture here. There are people now that are driving innovative business models, ideas, platforms that are not necessarily servicing the Philippines, but also servicing the globe. And I think that's also quite impressive that I've been able to be observe over the past sort of 5 years, 5-10 years as well.
Yeah, and that is, you know, you say sort of 5 years, it is more of a recent phenomenon, isn't it? And I think all over the world, you know, startups and entrepreneurship is getting more popular, so more people are jumping into it. But I kind of had the feeling in Manila in the Philippines, you really have to be pretty affluent to be able to even think about kind of entrepreneurial pursuits. And also there's a tendency for people to kind of stick with more prescribed roles, safer roles. So I find it really kind of invigorating to see people really jumping into entrepreneurship and trying to solve the problems of the world. Do you see it as, and also then as people are doing that in the Manila economy, that provides a huge wealth of talent for people in the West that want to tap into entrepreneurially minded people? Yeah, it's just getting kind of a richer, more qualified kind of talent pool over here, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely, and I think this is only something that that the Philippines as a whole will benefit from. That the outsourcing world and the outsourcing industry is really really benefiting from. And I think the hubs, the more defined hubs that we see now, from all the way to the traditional outsourcing on how we know it from the olden days, to more of the startup menu options, slimmed down models, and anything in between. Again, the fact that there are options out there educates local service providers that they need to up their game in terms of the quality services and really start to define what their added value is, instead of just saying, I got a seat, I got an internet connection, and I will legally employ them. Off you go. That's not the value proposition these days anymore. So I think altogether, it's a very positive transformation that we've seen, and it puts out a signal to all of the providers in the Philippines, and that they need to step it up and start defining more what those added value pieces are. And at the same time, it also allows business owners to be more educated on what they want, and perhaps even more so on what they don't want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they are getting increasingly educated, aren't they? It's becoming more of a sophisticated market from both sides of the pond, really. Okay, thank you so much, Baz. I want to get you back, actually, and I want to discuss like the future of outsourcing and also how the SMEs can get the best results that they want. So thank you so much for your time. If people want to get in touch with you in the meantime, how can they do that?
They can reach me through LinkedIn under Bastian Mouwen. They can reach me on the social media, Facebook under my same name, or my Skype, which is also my name, Bas Mouwen.
Okay, that was Baz Marwin. If you want to get in touch with Baz at all, the spelling can be a little bit complicated, so go to our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/172. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then please do. Just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.